Welcome back into the Monday Morning Blitz, GameDaySportsRadio.com. Boji Wood coming to you live from our GameDaySportsRadio.com studios. Fortunate enough today to be able to catch up with Mike Bernard from OTM Sports, who is traveling today, and we've got him via cell phone today. Mike, looks like we're going to be able to have you each Monday for the rest of the football season. I'm excited about that.
Oh, yeah, me too. It's nice to recap the games once they're over with, and we learn from them and apply that to the next week.
Let's look at the colleges first, Mike. Alabama, Auburn, LSU, Miami, Oregon, Michigan, Washington, Wisconsin, Virginia Tech, just to name a few. You know, they played non-Power 5 teams or Division I AA schools, got them some easy wins, got them a gave those folks a nice paycheck to take a butt kicking. And so not really a lot to worry about with those games. And again, Notre Dame gave up 10 points in the fourth quarter to Ball State to make a 24-6 yawner look like a tight game. So don't read anything into that, folks. Notre Dame's a pretty good football team. But now a couple of surprises of note for me was that Arizona State, they kicked a field goal in the final play of the game to give Herm Edwards a big win over number 15 Michigan State. And listen, Herm's got the Devils at 2-0 right now.
Right. And well, going back to Notre Dame before we get to the Arizona State, Notre Dame was in the perfect letdown spot. They had just beat Michigan, so you expect a letdown there. But I'll tell you about this Arizona State team. I was not convinced. I wasn't anywhere close to being sold on the Herm Edwards being the CEO and if the Arizona State kids had the talent and the ability to buy in. But they're 2-0, and they were an underdog at home over a ranked team. So I was really impressed. And that defense has played very well.
I thought they played well. I thought they got after it. Listen, I'm with you. And let me say that I love Herm Edwards. I love him. And I think he is – I thought he was a great coach in the pros. Again, a lot of people don't realize that pro football is a lot different from college football. And people will point that, oh, well, he wasn't really that successful in the pros. But a lot of times as a head coach in the NFL, your success is not really determined by the your performance. It's determined by the people in the front office and the players that they give you. So, again, I was still not sold on Herm Edwards being a college football coach, but so far so good for the Sun Devils.
Right. Well, the important thing is it looks like his kids are sold on it. And, they don't care. Herm Edwards is not concerned that they're in the Pac-12 and it's not necessarily known for great defense, although there are some great defensive teams in that league. But they're playing like a team from, say, the Big Ten or the SEC defensively.
Okay, Colorado, Scott Frost, he's still wishing that he could have opened the season with Akron a couple of weeks ago and got out of there with a win because Colorado spoiled his debut at Memorial Stadium in Lincoln. They scored late to win 33-28. And if you watch that game, Colorado had a chance to really put it away with a couple of missed field goals, and you thought, man, this is just, Scott Frost is preaching the old Husker magic, and everything's going to work out in the end. And, but no. Colorado, Mike McIntyre, I think a couple of years ago people thought, hey, this is just an anomaly. He can't build this program up and keep it sustained. May have been wrong about him.
Right, yeah, that's right. 2 years ago, they went to the Pac-12 title game, and they looked very good Saturday. And listen, I'm not surprised. Nebraska was only a field goal favorite with all that was on that, all the anticipation, all the excitement. The bottom line, and you and I talked about it many times, is the players in Lincoln right now do not fit Scott Frost's system. And it's not he's not a magic man. He's a great coach, and I think he will be the guy. It's just, he's going to need some time.
The game in the SEC that everyone was looking forward to this past week, and a lot of people, I don't think you or I thought this, but a lot of people thought that South Carolina was going to get the best of Georgia. Georgia dominated this game from start to finish, winning 41-17.
Right. Well, I didn't think South Carolina had a real good chance of winning the game, but I certainly thought they had a chance to cover the 10 points. And a lot of the sharps out in Vegas thought the same because the line went from 10 down to 8.5. But it was just Georgia was too strong. And it started with, I believe, a pick six, and South Carolina could never recover from there.
USC, Stanford. The Trojans, number 17, the Cardinal, number 10. This was the game in the Pac-12. Stanford looked strong, and 17-3 winners. Again, I think David Shaw kind of rebounding from what would be considered for them a down year last year. I think he's got the Cardinal back on the right track.
Oh, I think so. The front lines on both sides of the ball look better. And, Coach, we mentioned it on Inside the Numbers last week, but USC is now 3-17 against the point spread their last 20 games. Whether it's home, away, neutral, they can't cover the number. They get too much credit from the odds makers and the public. And, look, continue to fade USC until they get the numbers right.
You and I both love Bill Snyder and what he's done at Kansas State over the years. And we thought that Mississippi State may be ripe for the picking when they went into Manhattan, Kansas. But the number 18 Bulldogs come out of there with a 31-10 win. And listen, you know, I don't know if Kansas State's a little bit down this year because they struggled against South Dakota right out of the gate. But I thought the Bulldogs looked pretty impressive all the way around.
Right. I thought this was a possible trap game for Mississippi State. A lot of good teams, including Oklahoma last year, went into Manhattan and only had to come from behind to win by a touchdown. But I'll tell you this, I watched the front lines. You know, most people watch the skill players. You and I watch the front lines. Mississippi State absolutely dominated Kansas State on both sides of the ball at the point of attack. And it was, frankly, K-State was never had a chance.
Number two, Clemson. They go into College Station, Texas, to take on the Aggies of Texas A&M. You and I both knew that Jimbo Fisher would have the Aggies up at an emotional high, playing their best. Because, listen, Texas A&M, playing in College Station, it's an emotional atmosphere no matter who you're playing. But for a game of this magnitude, we knew that Jimbo Fisher would have those Aggies up and the 12th man would be full force. The Aggies almost pulled a huge upset, but Clemson escapes 28-26, and I think this is going to help really both teams down the road. Clemson has gone on the road now in a hostile environment and fought the crowd, fought a charged-up team, and came out a winner. But also, I think Texas A&M, they have to feel pretty good about, hey, we made a bunch of mistakes, and we were still right there with the folks that won the national championship a couple of years ago, and they're ranked number two right now, and everyone expects them to be back in the playoffs, and we played toe-to-toe with them for 60 minutes.
Right, and if you look at the stat, and I'm not a big stat guy, but you have to look at it to handicap, Texas A&M had, I believe they outgained Clemson, or at least one point they had outgained Clemson. They played with them in every aspect, but the most important thing I take from this game, and you and I alluded to it when we did the preview, is we talked about how Fisher is trying to change that culture, and it's not easy to do. On what I saw Saturday night, it looks to me like he's well on his way to changing that culture to a more physical, mentally tough team in College Station.
Totally agreement with you there. All right. You don't want to say it was the shocker, because you and I both thought this could happen this week, but after 31 years, Kentucky finally goes and gets the best of the Gators, 27-16. And not only was it the first time in 31 years that Kentucky had won, but the first time since 1979 that the Wildcats had gone into Gainesville and won.
Right, and they've been so close so many times. They should have won 2, 3, maybe even 4 times, and Florida would always pull it out at the last minute. But here's the reason when you and I talked about this game, the reason I like Kentucky plus the 14. I didn't predict them to win the game, but they beat Central Michigan by 15 points and were -4 in the turnover department. And I felt like, you know, Florida looked great on offense against one double-A opponent, But I want to see it before I believe it. I want to see them play a conference team. And the offense, frankly, just look like they have the last few years.
Right, Mike, and this is why I love doing this stuff with you is because, listen, you looking at winning versus that point spread or not, I'm just looking at give me 1 point. Let me have 11 and the other guy have 10. That's all I care about. That's why I love doing this with you because we look at it from a lot of the same factors but just from different perspectives. Well, Mike, if you'll hang on, we've got to take a quick break here on the Monday morning blitz, and we'll be right back, and you and I will review some NFL games.